It's Thursday here in the Main Street studio. Our good friend Matt Olean makes his weekly appearance. Matt, how have you been?
I've been fine. How are you?
Summer's inching along now. Mm-hmm. We're heading towards fall, but we still have movies to review. This week's movie is Eddington. Let's play the trailer.
I am recording this. Fair warning.
Is that really necessary?
Look, Joe.
6 feet.
Where the buffalo roam.
Is that praying?
Where the deer and the antelope play.
Oh, how did we get here? And even worse, is it worth it?
Where seldom is
at the cost of being at war with your neighbors?
A discouraging word.
That's why I'm running for mayor.
And the skies are not
mayor of Eddington. Thank you super duper very much. I used to think that you were some big deal, but I am a much better human being than you.
Who are you talking to? There's nobody here.
Home, home on the range.
Husband, sheriff, mayor-to-be.
You want things simple and neat. We are in a fight against evil.
These are your streets.
No, they're your streets to be safe.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
You know how death works, yeah.
People are going to be looking here now.
Keep your own office going, but you're going to run mine.
So you vote Joe Cross, take back our community.
Hell yeah.
Save our soul.
Not a coincidence. You are not a coincidence. We
are not a coincidence.
Yes, we're just tired.
Look at the world.
We need to free each other's hearts.
All right, our audience now has heard the trailer. This is a surreal dystopian Western,
I guess.
With a paranoid sheriff in the world of pandemic panic and political rivalry. What did you think of this film, Matt?
So when you said it's a dystopian Western, I think the main problem with this movie, directed by Ari Aster, now he is a pretty successful director. Midsommar is his masterpiece, which is this slow burn film with Florence Pugh that a lot of people have seen. And it is a borderline masterpiece, I think, in the horror genre, psychological horror. But since then, I think he hasn't really followed that up. Beau Is Afraid with Joaquin Phoenix did not hit with audiences. This opened at $4.3 million, which is under expectations. I've talked on this show for 20 plus years, Craig. If a film can't answer the question, what is this movie about? That's a problem. So is this a Western? Is it a treatise on COVID and the paranoia and the pitting of people against people and communities versus masks versus not wearing masks? Or is it a horror movie? What is it? And I don't think it can answer that question. And I think at times it's all three, but it goes off the deep end the last hour. The last hour completely goes off the rails. I can't get into too many plot points. Basically, the story is in this New Mexico town. So we go back to 2020, which now seems like 1,000 centuries ago, doesn't it sometimes? Like the masks and the distancing.
Sure,
And Pedro Pascal, who's underused in this movie. That's all I'm going to put out there. Emma Stone's in it too, barely in it. Pascal plays the mayor, Ted Garcia, running for re-election. He's a mask believer. He need to distance. He need to do all this. But he's also having city council meetings in his bar where people aren't wearing masks. And as you recall, Craig, wherever you were living at the time, if you were still in Riverton, this was a huge thing with school boards and city commissions. Hey, sure you was. Guys aren't wearing your masks. What's going on? And yet you're telling us to wear masks. So this became a huge spark in communities, and that's what's going on here. Joaquin Phoenix is the sheriff, kind of this bumbling, stumbling, mumbling sheriff, and I'll get to that in a minute with his performance. who does not believe in masks. And so there's this standoff, and he decides to run for mayor against Ted Garcia, and that is when all hell breaks loose. And I think there's an interesting movie somewhere in here about COVID, about what was going on in this country in 2020 within civic communities, city commissions, school boards. I know people who went through this, that served on commissions and school boards, that kind of went through things like this. And it was a very difficult time to govern, as you remember, Craig. And I think there's a really interesting movie about that in here, but it completely goes off the rails the last hour. It becomes a gore fest, which, you know, with Ari Aster, you expect a twist at some point, especially with Midsommar, you know, where Florence Pugh goes over to Scandinavia and can't escape, basically, and weird things are happening. I think there's a really good movie in here. It just didn't stick the landing. That's another thing I've talked about for years on this review show. Can a film stick a landing? A lot of films can start good first half hour, good first hour. And I did. I was into it for the first hour, 20 minutes. My good friend who went with me, she said the same thing when it was over. What happened at the end? What's going on? There are things that happen in the last 15 minutes that just do not make sense plot-wise. We were scratching our heads. Like, what happened? What just happened? What's going on? You know, so it's essentially the standoff of these two men, and eventually all hell's going to break loose. I will tell you, I'm hearing of walkouts at this movie across the country at certain spots. We didn't leave, of course. I never leave a movie. I can't do that as a reviewer. So I think half of it is really good, kind of an interesting commentary on the paranoia of the times during COVID. And some of it isn't. Austin Butler shows up as kind of this, who played Elvis a couple years ago. He shows up as kind of this out there soothsayer, cult leader, and he's kind of underused as well. Phoenix is the definitely lead character. Now, I like Joaquin Phoenix. He's an Oscar-winning actor. He's an interesting actor. He was great in The Master. He played Johnny Cash. I didn't like him as well in this movie. But sometimes I feel like he's too idiosyncratic. And I, 30% of the time, I could not understand what he was saying. You know, they used to complain in the old days about Brando mumbling. I could always understand Brando in movies. There's 30% of the time I'm saying, Ari Aster, can you have him re-record his dialogue? Because I can't understand it. And so that's a problem. He kind of plays this bumbling, stumbling, mumbling sheriff. That's what I'm going to say right there. And I guess that's how they wanted the part to be. And this sheriff is alternately kind of stupid, but also ambitious. And I can't really get into plot points of what's going on in his brain in this movie. But good first half. Last half goes off the rails.
All right, Matt, let's kind of turn the page a little bit before we get to our question relative to the Academy Awards that we ask every week. I want to ask you about Happy Gilmore 2. It's not a movie I think that you plan to review, but
even though I'm a golfer, right?
Yeah, yeah. It did open streaming on Netflix this past weekend. It's been out now for, what, about 5 days, 6 days here. So the question becomes this, Matt. Why wasn't it in movie theaters? And this movie now reportedly has 100 million streams. Jeez. How does that compare to the biggest blockbusters of the summer?
Well, if Superman opened at 115 million, which it did, that doesn't mean 115 million people went to the movies, because movies don't cost a dollar anymore.
Divide that by 10 at least.
Yeah, 10. So maybe 15 million went. So they must have a strategy at Netflix to determine that maybe the Happy Gilmore audience is a streaming audience. We've talked about this many times, Craig. Audience viewing has changed since COVID. We just talked about COVID, right, with Eddington?
Yep.
Another factor of COVID is people stop going to movies, unless it's the Barbenheimer weekend, unless it's Superman, unless it's a Marvel movie. So I don't know why it's not in theaters, except they must have determined a profit loss was better to come by with the streaming. You know, you have your golfer. I understand Rory McIlroy's in it, Jack Nicklaus, so I probably should see it.
Scotty Scheffler.
Scheffler. I was hoping for Lee Trevino to return. Maybe he doesn't, but John Daly's in it. So they got all kinds of people in there. I don't know. You'd think the golf crowd would be a crowd that maybe would go to theaters, but maybe not. So, you know, Netflix has proven time and time again they know what they're doing. Right, Craig? They know what they're doing. I remember Roma back in 2018, the film by Alfonso Cuarón, which won the Foreign Language Oscar. they decided to put it on Netflix, not in theaters. And it got the Oscar. And I don't think it's that good. I think it's overrated as heck. And had it gone in theaters, I can see like two people sitting at the Fargo Theater watching it. You know, it didn't have, but once it went to Netflix, people saw it. Oscar voters saw it. So it was a great strategy that worked for them. And obviously this is working for Happy Gilmore too. Maybe they do put it in theaters at some point. I don't know. But it's an interesting question. I can't quite answer it for you, except clearly they made the right call.
Freddie Couples is in it, Bryson DeChambeau, okay. And I'm missing some. There's just
some other major champions in there.
Let's go to our Academy Award question. We mentioned earlier Emma Stone. Of course, she was in the movie Eddington. She also won her first Oscar for La La Land.
Yep.
She won a second Oscar. What was the movie?
Poor Things in 2023.
And Matt, who won the Best Actor that year?
Cillian Murphy as Oppenheimer.
And of course, Oppenheimer won for Best Movie.
It did.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.